Today's daf is daf lamin alf. Today's daf is a bit of a technical daf. So the Mishnah begins on the very top here. Mivin etim min hasada. A person's allowed to bring etim on yantif if it's in the sada. Rashi explains tlushim have to be already detached from the ground. If they're attached to the ground, that's certainly a problem of koter. But if they're piece of logs on the ground, if it's in the sada, that means within the tchum on yantif, that's considered okay, not muksa. And so to the Mishnah adds min ha-mechunas, which Rashi says im kintu me'av yamtif. If a person gathered them from before yamtif, the gully daite de alayu samach, the person was relying on these logs of wood. The ain a muksa, they're not considered muksa. Aval hamufuzarim, if they're dispersed, if they're spread out, they'd be considered muksin. So if they're found in the sada, they're only acceptable if they are mechunas. But mufuzarim, then they're not acceptable. They are considered muksa. Now, when it comes to, says the Mishnah, another scenario, mina karpef, if then the karpef, which Rashi explains, based on the sugya, is in the Ervin, which means it's in a fenced area, so then the din is afilu mina mafuzer, then even if it's dispersed, not gathered together in a pile, that would be accepted as well. So either if it's in the field, mifuzarim, rather, in the field, if it's mechunas, or mina karpef, afilu mafuzer, that's the Tanakama. Eze karpef, what's considered a karpef? Kol shesamech le'ir divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda defines a karpef as next to the city. Rashi says shu mishtamer umukaf saviv. Samech le'ir mamish, has to be mamish next to the city. Only next to the city, a karpef which is adjacent to the city. Only that's considered the definition of a karpef. So if it's fenced in and near the city, so that's acceptable according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi expands the heter. Rabbi Yossi Omer kol shenichnasin lo piposachas ve'afilu besoch tchum Shabbos. Anything that a person has to go through a door, a lock, to get there, even if it's outside the away from the city, but within the tchum, that's acceptable. In other words, Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't have to be samech le'ir, but afilu further away, as long as it's tchum Shabbos. So he expands the definition. What it means, a kol shenichnasin beposachas, he goes through a gate, through a fence of some sort. The Gemara is going to try to explain and try to clarify the shoot of Rabbi Yossi, how expansive his head there really is. So Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein mevin etim ela mechunasim shebekarpef. You're only allowed to bring wood if it's mechunasim the karpef. Only if it's gathered together in the karpef in the fenced area. But our Mishnah clearly said differently. Our Mishnah said afil mefuzarim shebekarpef. And the Gemara asks this question. V'ha anan tanan, doesn't our Mishnah say mina karpef v'afilu mina mefuzarim? So how could they, Rabbi Yehuda, quote Shmuel that says if it's in the karpef, only if it's mechunasim, only if it's gathered together is acceptable? Well, our Mishnah says afil mefuzarim is acceptable in the karpef. So Gemara answers, Masnisin Nichidahi. Our Mishnah is a Das Yachid, the Sanya, the Braitha says, that Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Lo Nechlaku, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, his Shita, he's a Das Yachid, he explains the Machlokas as follows. Lo Nechlaku be Shamai be Silo, they don't argue, Ala Mufuzarim Shebesados She'ein Mavin. If it's in the field, which means it's not fenced in, if it's Mufuzarim in the field, everybody agrees you can't bring it in, that's certainly Muksa. And they also both agree, if it's in the karpef and gathered together, that everybody agrees is acceptable and not muksa. What is the machlokes? Ama nechlaku ala mufuzarim shebekarpef. If it's in a karpef yet dispersed, or mechunasim shebesades, or it's gathered together in the field in the non-fenced areas, that's the machlokes. Shebeishamai omrim lo yavi. That Beishamai says both those scenarios are still muksa. Ubeisil omrim yavi. Those are not muksa. You're allowed to bring it in. So this is all the das yachid of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of Beis Hillel, where he says that it's not considered muksa afilu mifuzarim. But according to Shmuel, he says we argue on this Mishnah. We don't hold like the das yachid. We hold that if it's in the karpev, it must be mechunasim, like the understanding of those who argue, the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Gemara then says, Amar Rava, Ale kanim valvi gefanim. Leaves of different reeds and leaves of the grape leaves, afagav de mechan felehu, even though one might have gathered them together before Yantif. And you would have imagined they're not considered muksa since I gathered them before Yantif. Umos, when I placed them down, I designated them for firewood, so it shouldn't be muksa. Kevan di marle zeka, if the wind were to come and elevate it to lift it, mivadi lehu, it would disperse it, it's considered kim mifuzarim dami, and viasurim, and therefore not considered muksa. Meaning, even though I set it aside, since the wind's easily able to blow the leaves away, that's kim mifuzarim dami. Viasnech mana, however, if I place a kli on top of the leaves, me esmo from yesterday, where I weigh them down, then alayu, shapidami, that would be acceptable, would not be considered mufuzarim, that would be considered mechunasim, and that would be acceptable. So now the Gemara quotes halfway down the Amud here from the rest of the Mishnah.
The Inyan is that it's nirav kemasi chol, or is because it's not muchan.
It's not muchan. It's a considered muksa issues. So then the Gemara says halfway down the Ezu Karpev. What's considered a Karpev? So we had the Machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said a Karpev is samach le'ir. Rabbi Yossi said that it's a kol shenichnasim l'pepesachas, has to have a doorway, a lock, and a door. V'afil b'socha tchum, even if it's further from the city, as long as it's within the tchum. So we're trying to understand the shita of Rabbi Yossi now. Asks the Gemara, Iboyil hu heichi kamar. How does this Machlokas, how is it understood? Do we say kol shesamach le'ir? And Vehuda isle posachas. Rabbi Yehuda, when he said that the karpev must be next to the city, it must also have a lock by the doorway. And Vehasa Rabbi Yosi, comes along lemeimer to say, came into isle posachas. Since there's a lock, afil besocha tchum Shabbos nami. We accept it even if it's further from the city, so long as it's within the tchum Shabbos. Or perhaps the machlok is as follows: Odilma hachi kamar. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds kol shesamach li'ir, anything that's adjacent to the city, bein d'islei posachas, bein d'lespei posachas. Rabbi Yehuda does not require a lock, he just requires it samach li'ir. And Rabbi Yossi Levemer, he comes to say, v'afil basocha tchum, tchum Shabbos, even if it's within the tchum Shabbos, v'davka d'islei posachas, but only if there's a posachas. V'aval i'lislei posachas, if there is no lock, afil samach li'ir nami lo, he would say even next to the city wouldn't be acceptable, that would be more machmir. So Rabbi Yossi more, either way he's more makel, he has actually one case is more makel, one case is more machmer. In other words, Rabbi Yossi in this second man number says he's makel that it's a posachas, he expands it even to the Tchum Shabbos, but there's no posachas, afilu samach lir, it doesn't work. So is he more makel like the Tzad Rishon or like the Tzad Sheni where he's somewhere in the middle? So the Gemara says, Tashma, mitakatani Rabbi Yossi Omer, from the fact that he says in the Mishnah, kol shenichnasin l'beposachas v'afilu besoch tchum Shabbos shmamina. Anything that has a posachas is acceptable even within a tchum Shabbos, expanding the shear. So what does that even mean? So says Gemara, shmamina Rabbi Yossi tarti l'kula kamar shmamina. He has two leniencies. So just look at Rashi to explain these leniencies. Rashi, two wide lines down, says Rashi, tarti l'kula kamar, kolomar, midi Rabbi Yossi nishmal Rabbi Yehuda delab tervayobay. From Rabbi Yossi, we could learn that Rabbi Yehuda does not require two dinim. In other words, Rabbi Yossi betarti akil. He's makel in two fronts. The machshir besamach, below posachas. He's machshir if it's next to it, even without a posachas. And he adds a posachas, and if there is a lock, then below samach, even if it's not next to the city, it's acceptable as well. The shema'ina le Rabbi Yehuda, we could learn to Rabbi Yehuda on the same Rabbi Yehuda shita, the kamar. Kol shesamach li'ir, if it's next to the city, bein de isle posachas, bein les posachas. You don't need a lock at all, according to Behuda, if it's next to the city. And responding to that says, Amar le Rabbi Yossi, kol sheyesh le posachas, if it has a lock, afil hu besoch atchum. If it's samach, lo bai posachas, if it's next to the city, you don't need a lock at all. So then Rashi explains a little bit further, it's a little bit technical, but that's how the Gemara concludes, and that's the last line of the Gemara here is, Amar Rav Sela, Amar Yehuda, Rami Yirmiya rather, Halacha, Rabbi Yossi, Lahakel, we assume that he's more Makel, and that's how the Gemara Paskins the bottom line. So Mishnah says in the bottom, I told you it's a very technical daf today, Ein Mivakhin Eitim Min HaKaros, V'lo Min HaKara Shenishbu Rabbi Yomtev. A person is not allowed to cut saw beams of wood, whether those were set aside from before Yantif, or whether they were broken and available on Yantif itself, you're not allowed to. V'eim v'akin lo b'kardim v'lo b'magrav v'lo b'magel. You can't use different types of saws, ela b'kovitz, but a kovitz which is not a specialized utensil. So the Gemara is going to point out, initially we said, you can't saw any type of wood. Then the Mishnah says, but it depends what type of saw you're using. If it's a professional saw, any type of professional saw, that would be usher entirely. But if it's a kofis, which is some type of knife really, which is not a professional saw, that would be allowed. So Gemara is going to explain what's going on here. So Amin Beis says the Gemara, the ha'amis, didn't you say in the Reisha, a mevak kin klal, you can't saw at all. And now we're saying, and Rashi by the way says, the concern here is not one of muksa. Look at the top Rashi here. Rashi writes, V'hamris reisha ein mevakin klal. He says that svara at the time of Masis, and the Mishnah's understanding is la mishim muksa. It's not a concern of muksa here. Tana bereisha ein mevakin etim. Ela mishim malacha v'tircha. It's a concern of a malacha, a concern of exertion of energy. So it's a tircha, a malacha issue. So either way we say it, V'hamris reisha ein mevakin klal. So Amar of Yehud Amar Shmuel chasur mechzera. The Mishnah is missing something, and the way the Mishnah is meant to be understood is as follows. V'hachikat tani, Ein mivakin min asoar shel koros. You cannot take wood, can't cut wood that's in the soar shel koros, which Rashi says is an area of muksa, whereby people lie down in the logs of wood to be used for building. That's certainly muksa. And velomina korosh nishbra b'yamtiv, or if it's a beam that broke on yamtiv, that although it's not fit for using for building purposes, but in the end they only became available on yamtiv, so that's also a different type of muksa. So that those two categories are also midin muksa. Aval, what you can do is mevakin min akora shenishmera me'av yamtiv. But if it's a beam that broke erev yamtiv, which means it can't be used for building anymore, so it's a broken piece of wood, so it was erev yamtiv, it's not muksa because I had in mind to use it for my fire. That's allowed. But when you're allowed to cut it, so that's all the muks issue. But there's still a secondary issue of the tircha that's being used here. Uch shehein mevakin, when you do cut such pieces of wood which are not muksa, make sure to cut in the right way. In other words, no type of professional saw, ella bekofet, a little type of knife, which is not a kli uman, which is not a professional saw, that would be acceptable to avoid any issues of tircha. So those are two factors at play, muksa and mlacha slash tircha. So Tani Nami Hach, the Brisa says the same idea. You cannot cut wood that's either set aside for building purposes, that's muksa, or that which broke on yantav, which is also muksa, but it's not minamuchan. But once you have items that are not muksa, you can actually cut them as long as you use the proper type of saw. So then the Gemara quotes, Vloba kardim, kardim is some type of axe, I think, I don't know exactly what type of axe, but it's a type of axe. So, I don't know the metzias of it. Apparently, there are two types, two sides. Some axes have different types of parts of them. There's what's called the female part and the male part. The female part, we'll look at Rashi in just a second. The female part was used to cut the tree, the actual tree. And the male part was used to cut the wood that was broken. So, the male part cannot cut down a tree. It's not strong enough. So, the Gemara makes the following okimta. So, when you can't use an axe, comes along Amar Rav Chinuna bar Shlamya Mishmei Diraf. When we said you can't use an axe on yantif for Shabbos, or yantif really, we're talking about the female part, and that cannot be used on yantif. Aval bezachah shelo, the male part, mutter, that would be allowed. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, lo shanu el benikvos shelo, berosh harachav shekotzen bo eitz ha-eitz l'rachva. That you're cutting the width of the tree, that's where it's usher, the dummy lamlachas uman. That looks like a real professional act, and that's usher yantif. Says Rashi, aval bezachah shelo, the male part of the axe, Berosh HaKatzur, the shorter part, Shemavakim Bo Eit Sim, where you're cutting that more twigs, not the tree, but the twigs, that would be Mutter. So Gemara says, Pshita, that's very obvious. Bekofetz, in other words, the kardim, again, I don't know the metzias of this axe, but the male part of the axe is in essence the same thing as a kofetz. A kofetz, I'm guessing, is a small little knife with some type of serrated knife. So the part of the axe, which is serrated as well, which is small, that's equivalent to a kofetz. So once the Mishnah says pshita, but kofetz not, the Mishnah says you can't use a kofetz, that's equivalent to the male part of the axe. So the Gemara says, no. Mal the same, what would you have thought? Harnimile b'kofetz l'chudei. When can you use this kofetz? When you have a kofetz, a separate knife. Aval, when it's attached to a whole saw, well, kardim, the kofetz, if it's a saw, with the kofetz attached together, the same metal, but the different parts of it, Ema, I should say, maybe migo the high gisa usser, from the fact that the kardim part, the wider part of the axe is usser, so maybe I should say high gisa nami usser, maybe the other part, the kofetz part of this axe should be usser as well. Kamash Milan, that no, although you can't use the axe part, you can use the male part, the kofetz, that would still be acceptable. So then the Gemara says, Vika de masin la seifa. Others that you learn this sugya going on the seifa. The Sefer says, Ela b'kofetz. You're allowed to use the kofetz, which is some type of small knife. You can use it to cut wood. So, Amar Rav Chinuna, Bashlamya Mishrei Derava, Lo Shana Ela Bezachas Shelo. It's only true that you're allowed to use the male part of this kofetz. Ava B'nachvas Shelo Aser. The female part, the larger part of this knife, would be Aser. So, Pshita, that's obvious. It says, Lo B'kardim. In other words, you have this type of equipment that the male part is a kofetz, the female part is the kardim, so of course you can't use a female part. That's the same thing as an actual axe. So it's none. So Ma, the same, what would I have thought, honey, me the kardim? Maybe only an actual saw is usser. Aval, a kofetz for kardim, if you have this type of machinery whereby there's both the kofetz and kardim together, maybe I would say, aim amigo the high gisa shard, from the fact that the kofitz part of this machinery is mutter, maybe high geese and amishar, maybe the axe part should be mutter as well. Kamashbal, that the entire kli is aser since it has the cardum. So there are two different interpretations of this case. So again, everyone agrees a cardum is aser. Everybody agrees a kofitz is mutter. When you have the kofitz and cardum together, so that was a machlokas. How should it be? We allow it in the side of the mice. We say the kofitz part is allowed and the cardum part would be also. Just look at Tosus for a second. That's a halacha maisa for us. But Tosus writes of al kardum the kofitz mi the high gisa shari high gisa nami shari. That was only havamina who pierced you Tosos the ain anu bakim be kardum heyach hein awesome. We're not experts in how these axes are made. L'chachei shonu l'eser levakei eitzim rak biyad. The only way we allow the maisa to cut wood, don't use any type of saw, knife, or any type of instrument. Rather, use your hands and break them. That would be the only heter halacha maisa, according to Tosus' understanding. Let's finish off the Gemara now. The new Mishnah tells us here in Amud Beis. A bias, shumali peyers. Let's say you have a house that's full of fruit, and you want to eat the fruit on Yom Tov. The problem is the house is completely built. It's surrounded by bricks or wood, and you can't access the fruit. So the Mishnah says, v'nifchas, if somehow the bricks fall off on its own, no tell me makom apchas, you're allowed to access the fruit from wherever it fell. So imagine you have a little house, a little hut, and it was completely sealed off, and there's fruit inside, you can't break it down. But if, let's say, some of the wall begins to fall on its own, that part you can start accessing the fruit. Now what's the hav? I mean, it would be usher. Of course you can access the fruit. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains in the Mishnah, v'nifchas me'elav, if the house breaks on its own, or part of it breaks on its own, notel mimakom apchas, you could take from the area that has been exposed. But lo amrina, we don't say muksa machmas isrei. We don't say that's muksa, because since maybe I couldn't access it on Shabbos, because there were bricks and wood, maybe the fruit should be considered muksa as well. We don't say that. We don't say that since I didn't think I could use it on Yom Tov, it should therefore be muksa, and even when the bricks fall, I shouldn't be able to use it. Why not? Since removing the bricks would not have been a muksa, would not have been an isur deraisa rather, he's referring to the Gemara, which is going to explain to us there's no real concern here. In other words, the bricks that were there were not really attached to the house. There's no real issue of soser, there's no issue of muksa, and that's why it's allowed. But had you had a real house that was built together nicely with brick and cement, and the only way for me to access it to break it down, and let's say it fell off on its own, I cannot access it because I did not have a havamina, I can get into the house. But this house was not actually, it wasn't built well. It was built, they laid bricks on top of each other, but they weren't cemented together, and therefore I thought maybe I could actually access it if it fell over, and that's why you can, if it does break open, you can actually take the fruit according to the Tanna Kamma. Now comes along Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, af poches lichachila v'noto. He felt you can actually take off the bricks and the wood on your own. You don't have to wait for it to fall off on its own, but you could go ahead and remove them in order to access them lichachila. So Gemara says, Amai, how could the Tanna Kamma allow you to take the fruit that after the house fell apart? V'kasasar ohola, isn't a soser ohola? It's breaking of the house of an ohel. How is that acceptable? So Amar Rav Nechuma Barada Amar Shmuel Be'avira Delivne. We're talking about Avira Delivne. What's Avira Delivne? So Rashi explains Avira Delivne Sidur Shavanim Belotit, where they simply laid the bricks on top of each other, but there was no cement, so it wasn't built. It was just a strong wind possibly could knock it over. A person can knock into it, the whole thing will crumble. So it wasn't really. It's no soser. There's no binyan. There's no soser. So Gemara says, but still, the 80s, is that really true? Is that still allowed? V'hamer, Rav Nachman, isn't there an issue of muksa still? Hani livne diayasa mi binyana, shari litatulune b'shabasa. If you have leftover bricks that you don't need for building anymore, you're actually allowed to use them on Shabbos, move them on Shabbos. Ho v'chadzi l'mizgai alayos, since you're allowed to, lie down on them, they have some purpose, so that's not muksa if they're considered surplus. But if they're not surplus, if they're set aside for the building, shargina, if you set them up, if you order them, you organize them, put them, layered them down for the use of building, that's vade akasinu, that certainly is muksa. So here I've got a house, I lay the brick on top of each other, granted there's no cement, and there's no problem of sosa because it's not malacha yet, but I certainly set them aside to eventually be cemented in, so isn't that considered muksa? Because I want to use them for the building purposes. So great, there's no sosa issue, but there's still a muksa issue. Gemara says, you're right, there is a muksa issue. There's issur midrabanan muksa. However, in the face of Yom Tov, of Tzorach Yom Tov, you're allowed to override muksa for Tzorach Yom Tov. That's the Gemara says. Amru Rebbe Zeira, b'Yom Tov Amru, we allow you to actually violate Yom Tov muksa for the purpose of Tzorach Yom Tov, heter ochel nefesh, avalo b'Shabbos, but Shabbos would not be permitted. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says this. Last four narrow lines in Rashi. Rashi explains, Amar Reb Zeir Rabbi Yomtif, Hitir Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir permitted you to remove it. So, talking about Shittas Rabbi Meir, why you allowed to lichatchila take them off? Because Hitir Rabbi Meir, Kevin Dimidirabban Hudasir, because since we established there's no cement here, so there's no mlach at play, it's only an issue of muksa, and the yeser muksa only midirabanam, umishum simchas yantif shari, to eat the fruit which is simchas yantif, you're allowed to violate an yeser midirabanam, sharei mutter bo ochal nefesh, avalo b'shabbos, but Shabbos you're not allowed to, because there's no heter ochal nefesh on Shabbos, mishum tiltot the Rav Nachman, it's an issue of muksa, and therefore Shabbos you can't do this, but yantif you can do this because of simchas yantif. And the Gemara quoted Brisha to reiterate this point here. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brisha says the same thing that Rabbi Meir Omer af poches lichachila. You could lichachila remove the bricks. Benotel b'yomtiv amru benotel b'yomtiv amru avol lo b'shabbos. So that's exactly what Rabbi Meir said before. That the heter here, the driving force, is the heter of simchas yantiv. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Says the Gemara. Amr Shmuel says chosmos shibakarka. If you had, let's say, many times they had like a little trap door in the bottom to access a little cellar, or maybe to access a well, or to a pit, or you're hiding something in a pit. These chosmos, these locks on the ground, shibakarka mata, you could undo, if they were knotted together, you could undo the knot. And Rashi explained, because it's not a kesher shakrama, it was often knotted and unknotted, that's how it was used, that's not a kesher shakrama. You could be matir, but what you can't do is, lo mafkiya of lo chotech, you can't unravel the rope, nor can you cut the rope. And Rashi explained, because since it's attached to the ground, that would be a problem of soser of a binyan bakarka. So untying would be allowed, but not breaking or destroying the rope, that would not be allowed. So then the Gemara says, Echad Shabbos v'echad yamta, whether this is Shabbos or yamta, there's no difference. So Meishi, the Gemara asks a brisa against Shita Shmuel, Chosmos shibakarka b'Shabbos mater, the grease, on Shabbos, these knots on the ground, on Shabbos you can untie, you can't cut, you can't unravel them. That'd be soser of the. I skipped a line. Let me go back first. I'm sorry. I skipped a line. Back top, up top. Amr Shmuel. Chosmos shebekarka matir avalo mafki avlo chotech. Shebekalim, if they are in the kalim, if they are in the vessels, matir umafki avachotech. Not only can you untie the knot, but you can even break the rope, because since it's attached to a keli, ain binyan vestir bekalim, you're allowed to even mafkia and chotech the rope that's attached to the kalim. And the Gemara says, Echad Shabbos v'echad Yom Tov, the same exact halacha applies equally on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's all Shita Shmuel. Now the Gemara asks the question, Meisive, Chosmos shebekarka, if it's attached to the ground, these knots are on the ground, of the doors on the ground, b'Shabbos matir v'lo mafkia lo chotech, but b'Yom Tov matir u'mafkia v'chotech. When in Yom Tov, you're allowed to not only untie them, you can even break the ropes, unravel the ropes. So that goes against Shmuel. Shmuel says the halacha is the same Shabbos and Yom Tov, which means only matir is allowed shibakarka, but not chotechuch of mafkia. But here the Brisa says, Yom Tov, you can be mafkia, you can be mechatech. And the Gemara says, you're right, it's actually machlokis. Our Mishnah, which is machlokis Tanakama Rei Meir, is machlokis between Shmuel and this Brisa. In other words, Hamani, who is the one that says you're allowed to on Yom Tov, even matir, mafkia, or chotech? That Shitas Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah, the Amar, af poches lechachila v'notel. He says you're allowed to violate an iser midrabanan in order to satisfy simchas yamtiv. So destroying soser, we know, to violate soser on a deraisa level, is soser al manas livnos. If it's soser, shelo al manas livnos, that's simply an iser midrabanan. But if it's going through the purpose of simchas yamtiv, that simchas yamtiv could violate the soser midrabanan. So that's the understanding. The Gemara says that's all the brisa. But according to Shmuel himself, who says you cannot be mafkia and you cannot be chotech chosmos shebekarka, he says the pligi rabbana le rabbana argue va'ana. I says Shmuel damri kerban. I hold like the sheet of the rabbanan that say you cannot violate an isim the rabbanan for the purposes of simchas yamtiv. So we'll stop here because the sugya continues deep into the next stuff. I'll quickly recap what we did today. We spoke about initially talking about which type of wood is considered muksa, which ones are not muksa, the sada, the karpef, the mechunas versus mefuzarim, and then we had a discussion about that was all das yachid of the Mishnah. That was Rabbi Shimon Elazar's understanding of machlokas beis hillel beis shammai. We then discussed the ali kanan v'ali gefanim, the leaves that fly away. Even though you set them aside, it's still muksa unless you place a kli to weigh them down. Then we tried clarifying the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who argues from Yehuda the definition of karpef, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi takes the most lenient approach. In other words, that if it's samach le'ir, even if it's not locked, If it's in a carpet, if away from it, only if it is locked, that was Shita Rabbi Yosef. Then we discussed the cutting of the wood on Shabbos. If it's muksa, so yantav rather, if it's muksa, then you certainly can't use it. What's muksa? If it was set aside for building, or if it broke on yantav, that's muksa. But if it was set aside before yantav, that's not muksa. But even when you cut it, you can't use an actual axe. You have to use some type of small knife, which should not be considered a professional type of act. And then we spoke about this type of utensil that has both an axe and a kofetz. Only the kofetz part is allowed, but the axe part is not allowed. Then finishing off the house that was full of fruit, that if it falls on its own, Tanna Kamma says you can access the fruit. Rabbi Meir says even l'chachil, you could take it down and access the fruit. That's because Rabbi Meir held that you could violate an issur midrabana muksa here for the purposes of Simchas Yantif. Okay, everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.